Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week. And
I'm
Brian,
here.
I'm sorry.
I'm here.
I know. I could still see where the streaks down your face where you were crying the other day when the clones lost. I mourn the fact that my bracket is totally toast, and I might as well just burn it right now. But you're taking this loss probably a little more personally than
Yeah, and anybody that's a hardcore clone fan is going to have a real struggle with what happened. But you know what? Here's the thing about this tournament. This tournament, you never, ever know what's going to happen. I mean, year after year,
right,
there's all kinds of surprises. It's why they play the games.
Right.
You don't just look at the bracket and say, well, this guy wins and this guy wins. No. You play the games. And this sort of thing happens when you play the games. And here's the thing. People forget UAB was a good team.
Right. Yeah, well, any team that makes the tournament, obviously
this was a very good team,
and they
exploited some weaknesses that the clones have shown off and on before in the season. If the clones couldn't control the glass, and if the clones couldn't hit shots from the 3-point line, lots of times they got in trouble, and this time they couldn't dig their way out of it. But they'll be back. That's the other thing I want to say.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I saw some stuff on Facebook about, you know, Coach Hoiberg, you know, is a great recruiter, but he can't coach, and he got out-coached, and all this kind of stupid stuff. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, give the guy a chance. How long has he been there now?
This is his fifth season.
Okay.
And, you know, he's going to come storming back next year
right.
with a great team. And people also forget that just a week ago, we were ecstatic because for the second year in a row, Iowa State had won the Big 12 Conference Tournament. I mean, any way you slice it.
It was a good year.
It was still a decent year.
Yeah.
You know, one of the problems is the guy has spoiled us. We expect monstrous things out of this clone basketball
team.
Yeah,
don't turn into an Indiana fan or, you know, having lived in Indiana for a while, that, you know, some of those folks are interesting.
I got to ask you though, did number one son learn a little bit of a lesson about buying T-shirts this week?
I got to ask. Yes, he took a trip to Goodwill, and he'd been actually away from house for a little bit. He's part of a punk band. He's a drummer, and so he likes getting these quirky T-shirts from Goodwill. As a lot of adolescent boys do. And I come out and I look at it. And I'm like, you are not wearing that in public. It was a picture of Batman. And the picture, I could see why he bought it. It was hilarious because Batman had a mustache. And down below it says, Yo soy Batman. Well, if you... Well, I can't say the English translation. The FCC.
Why did you just say it?
FCC would just Google it.
You're a knucklehead. You shouldn't have said it in Spanish either.
I don't think we would. Well, you can bleep
anyway.
That out. Anyway, I don't know. Does it count if it's Spanish?
Probably.
Okay. So you're going to have to bleep that out. Anyway, yeah. He's had Spanish, but that's obviously not a word that they.
Moving back to the clone.
We better, because this is really getting uncomfortable.
We have with us on our VIP line a former clone great, State Senator Jack Whitford. Good morning, Jack. Bail us out of this quick, will you?
Yeah, good morning, you guys. My tears are just drying up, too. That was a tough day yesterday. You know, I'll tell you I've been a Cyclone fan my entire life, and that week, the high of winning that title after three straight great games to the low was, we haven't had that experience as Cyclone fans in a long time, but, you know, it was a fun year, and a lot of those guys are back next year, and I promise you one thing, as a former college athlete, those guys are not going to forget the feeling they had yesterday, and it will motivate them every day until they can play another game next fall. And so, you know, with so many guys coming back, I think the only bright thing about yesterday, which was a very gloomy day, is these guys are going to be motivated for the next 8 months to get back and do better. So it was a fun season. Hoiberg has done such a good job in 5 years. He took Iowa State from practically irrelevant in basketball in the middle part of the 2000s to a lot of people picking them to win the national title this year. I think that's what makes it so tough. And for the first time in my lifetime, there's legitimate talk about Iowa State being a Final Four team or even making the final game. So, but you know what? That's why we love March Madness. And if it's not your team that loses, you love that type of game. So it is what it is.
I was going to ask, did any work get done yesterday in the Iowa Senate? But then again, does any work get done any day in the Iowa Senate?
Unfortunately, we did. We were debating almost through that entire game, so I saw very little of it. We've seen checking updates on the phone every once in a while. So I only saw the last 3 minutes down at Legends with my wife and friends. Otherwise, we were in debate all day. So
it's probably just as well. It's probably just as well that you missed some of that. No,
that's what my wife said.
I think you're exactly right. The roller coaster. I mean, I've been a Clone fan my entire life, and I don't remember the roller coaster being quite this awful. How many games did we win in a row with ridiculous comebacks, Jack? Was it like five or six?
Five straight games, and then, I mean, those 3 days, last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, were probably the three funnest days I've ever had as a Cyclone fan, with the come-from-behind victories and just, you know, the excitement around that tournament. And, right, frankly, that wears you out, too. And
it does. You know, emotionally, that had to take a toll on those kids.
Emotionally and physically. I mean, you look at a guy like Naz Long, who usually is great from three-pointer. He just didn't have it. His legs weren't in it, and the guys were beat. But, you know, everyone's tired this time of year, so it's not a very good excuse, but that's all we have right now is excuses.
Right. Oh, well, anyway, I suppose we should talk politics here for a moment.
Yeah, shift to another uncomfortable topic. Because that's what we're about out here at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Gas tax.
Yeah.
You know, this legislative session has been extremely weird. Never before have I seen so many politicians rush to raise taxes on Iowans.
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue that I think a lot of Iowa was caught off guard with the fact that it, I think the perception is it happened really fast. It didn't happen fast. This is something that's been building since the day I got elected 5 years ago.
True.
With the constant pressure of, can you vote for it? Can you vote for it? Can you vote for it every day? I did not vote for it, but this did not happen overnight. It was
right.
A long-term process by a lot of different players involved, and I frankly didn't think that the votes were there this session to get it passed in the Senate. And at the end of the day, a couple people switched their votes, or I don't want to say switched their votes. They came on board to finally supporting it, and they got it through. So
in bipartisan fashion.
It was bipartisan. You know, the thing you have to remember about the gas tax is it's not necessarily a Republican-Democrat issue. I mean, I think the votes were split right down the middle.
Pretty much.
You have a Republican governor sign it, and a lot of it has to do more with your district than it does anything else. And there's parts of the state that those representatives or senators felt like they couldn't vote against it.
Right.
And I'm in my district thinking, I can't vote for this. And it's just an interesting and weird issue that I was surprised it got passed.
But the speed with which it took place, I mean, for a lot of people, it was just breathtaking.
The fact that it happened, you know, bam, before funnel week, and then I think, and then the fact that it's implemented like that, you know, the Sunday after, which is odd that it went into effect that fast.
Yeah. But part of the interesting story on that, from what I understand, part of the reason it happened so fast is usually they'd wait at least a month before they implement it, but they didn't want to implemented on April 1st, April Fool's Day.
That would have been appropriate, though.
It would have been great.
I think they
actually
did that the last time it passed, in the 90s, and I think they learned their lesson from that.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, I just filled up my tank today, and it still burns me up. And do you think this is going to have any impact with 2016, elections with some Senate districts coming open or no?
Yeah, I think you know, a lot of issues will have impacts on those districts or on those races. And again, it just varies district by district.
Sure.
So we have a senator up in Northeast Iowa that he represents a district that Obama won, that Braley won his congressional district up there back in 12, that there's two Democrat House members, and he's the only Republican that represents it. And he says, I have to vote for this. This is something my people want. I ran on it. And, you know, he's convinced that he needed to take that vote. And then there's some people that you look at and say, you took that vote, you could have a tough election or even a primary against you. So it will have some impact, but, you know, in a way it does consolidate. You know, one of the things that has been a struggle the last 5 years in our Senate, you know, in the Capitol, is the fact that so many of the different Republican groups have been split. And,
right.
you know, the Farm Bureau is pushing a gas tax, and AGC is pushing a gas tax, and even the bankers are pushing a gas tax.
Right.
It's really splitting a lot of the people that support us, whether it's groups or the individuals that make up those groups.
Right.
And so, well, it remains to be seen the impact of that being behind us if, you know, we can consolidate more support. But, you know, I would say that when that passed, you know, this session, it passed, what, in the sixth or seventh week, and it almost felt like the end of a legislative session where nothing's getting done because there was just so much pressure on that bill and so much focus on that bill with people saying, you know, this has got to happen either yes or no before anything else really moves at the Capitol. And there's, you know, it built up to a point where, you know, they were able to find the votes to get it passed.
Or in the House side, you know, reorder the committee so you can get the votes to pass. I think that's probably what made me madder than anything else. You know, not that I'm happy that passed overall, but the way it happened in the House, which obviously you had nothing to do with. But yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of people are like shaking their heads like, well, if you could do that with the gas tax bill, why can't you do that with, say, you know, the late term abortion ban when that was struggling getting out of committee, or
yeah.
you know, some other bills that, you know, now he's going to be under a lot of pressure to do that on other issues as well. So
yeah,
anyway. And He put himself in a bad position.
Yep, and that's something in the Senate. You know, it didn't come to that point in the Senate, and you know what they
right.
do in the House is, you know, not really my business necessarily.
True. Yeah.
Well, Jack, you know, one of the things that really bothers me about the gas tax, I'm not saying it doesn't have any real world consequences. To the contrary, I know it does. In my business, we're manufacturers' reps. We travel all over the Midwest, so we spend a small fortune on gasoline. So, I definitely will feel this personally. But mm-hmm. more than that is just the notion that apparently our legislature thought collectively, and our governor, that we didn't have money anywhere else in our budget that we could spend on roads and bridges. We had to get additional funding for that. And I mean, that's the stuff that makes some of us just absolutely crazy, especially when we're doing this stupid, you know, baseline budgeting.
Yeah, and I understand that frustration, and I think we probably missed an opportunity a few years ago when we had a pretty healthy year-after-year budget surplus on top of the what I call our accumulated savings account that we accumulated over years to not look at that harder or get something done then. The reality is now on our budget, we have a budget right now with the governor's proposal is about $150 million upside down for this coming year. It was his proposal. And so we're trying to stick to those budgeting principles of where we don't spend more than we bring in this year. And so we're going to have a difficult time doing that. You know, with the gas tax, within 2 weeks, I started looking forward. And when you think about, okay, if taxes were just raised on every Iowan by between $60 and $100 per year or more, if you're in sales like you are, it could be $200 or $300 or more. If that happened, which it did, it's law, what can we do now to try to get that money back in your pocket?
Right.
And that's what I've been talking about for years with income tax cuts. And I think we're going to be able to rally together a large coalition of people to go after that income tax and get that money back in your pocket that was just taken out. And a lot of your listeners would probably say, well, that makes no sense, to raise the taxes on the gas and then come back with an income tax and break it even. Well, there is a little bit of a difference with the gas tax being a constitutionally protected fund and the income tax going in the general fund. And so that's been my focus, is if taxes were raised, which they were, how can we get that money back in your pocket? And that's going to be a large focus of us in the Senate, Republican caucus, forming that coalition to get that done.
We only have a couple minutes left. We talked too much, spent too much time talking about Iowa State. just a question. Funnel Week is come and gone. What are you disappointed that, what bill that are you disappointed didn't make it through Funnel Week, and which one are you pleased did?
Well, I think the big one that I'm disappointed that didn't make it through was any kind of tax decrease. And, you know, we just talked about the income tax cut. In the Senate, you know, we have a chairman of our Ways and Means Committee, which is our tax writing committee, that he refuses to have subcommittees or hearings on anything related to tax cuts. And I think that is extremely unfortunate. So that's very disappointing that did not get through the funnel on the Senate side. You know, and more of the things that I'm excited about came through the House. And so hopefully we can at least get a hearing on those when they come over to the Senate, whether it has to do with taxes or a late-term abortion ban or whatever that
right.
may be.
I bet you're really excited about legalizing fantasy sports games, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're just doing big things. And I'm not against that. It's just, you know, there are bigger issues that we can and should be working on
right.
in the state of Iowa. But, and we got fireworks came through the Senate that survived the funnel. Don't
great.
Know what the fate of that bill is.
And
in the Senate, we had a minimum
We are out of
wage.
Time. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a bit. Sorry, Jack, to cut you
no
off
problem.
There.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
That middle-of-the-night phone call is taking its toll on you. You thought that the days of your kids interrupting your sleep were long gone. But now it's the predicaments of your grown children that are keeping you awake. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Parenting adult children can be draining. You have invested two intense decades into that kid, and you don't want to see it all go for naught. Well, consider these thoughts. As a parent, you're responsible for the process, not the product. Each person makes their own decision regarding Christ. God has no grandchildren, only children. Also, loosen that emotional tether. Let out the slack that ties their decisions to you, and you avoid the whiplash effect. Realistically, very little of what they do is actually because of you. If you need help working with an adult child, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or visit us online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management Insurance Services and Ames. Call Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for all your insurance needs. And
I promise you, this segment, I will not drop a Spanish curse word. I can promise you that. So, anyway, Brian's
that's
like,
good.
Brian's like, yeah, right, you won't.
Make sure that everyone understands there was no intent here.
No. No, absolutely not. So, anyway.
Just some sort of disconnect between your ears.
That happens every week, yeah. Though. Hey, can we talk
good
about
point.
Can we talk about Hillary? Let's talk about Hillary Clinton.
Let me try it again. Rosaria Champagne Butterfield.
No, not saying it. So anyway, Hillary's been in the news just a little bit.
Just a little.
But I want to bring up an article that maybe a lot of our listeners haven't seen. I would assume they haven't seen because it's focused mainly on New Hampshire, but it's in Bloomberg Politics. New Hampshire focus groups indicates problems for Hillary and Bush. In Bloomberg Politics, Purple Strategies focus groups convened this week in New Hampshire. Even likely Democratic primary voters who are ardent Clinton supporters said they are closely following and are turned off by her handling of a controversy over her use of private rather than government email while she served as Secretary of State. And several said she should turn over her private email server to a neutral third party for review. And also some of the underpinnings of Bush's general election appeal, his family's legacy of political service, a perceived openness to liberalizing immigration policy and support for the Common Core education standards have led several likely Republican primary voters to conclude they can't support him.
Because he's squishy.
Yeah. Well, that's mainly it. And that there's probably nothing Bush can do to change their minds. No.
Feature that.
Because you can only go out there and say so much stuff. I mean, and this isn't in our production notes, but he was just out there the other day. I wrote about it on caffeinatethoughts.com. It's Jeb Bush's flawed common in parentheses core or excuse me, common in parentheses core values, where he's basically saying, I have a backbone because I talk about Common Core and I know what's best. I'm willing to say hard things, except unfortunately he's unwilling to say that in a room full of, you know, really defend the standards. Come out to Iowa and say that in a grassroots setting, because right now he's saying things like that to groups that are friendly to Common Core. So I'd love him to say, you know, I have backbone. Frankly, he doesn't, because he's trying to, you know, saying, oh, you know, it's bad that the federal government got involved. But, hey, we need to reauthorize No Child Left Behind. And the New Hampshire Union Leader editorial board dinged him on that, saying No Child Left Behind will put, you know, if you reauthorize it in this current bill, the Student Success Act, H.R. 5, it continues to mandate assessments and all these things that people are upset about. And yet he says that he wants to diminish federal control of education, but yet he wants to continue on basically with No Child Left Behind. I don't know exactly what, you know, his reasoning is interesting. And that's putting it mildly.
Well, look, it wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean, and I don't know how long it will take, and I don't know what it will take, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if this guy still ends up being the front runner at some point. Just saying.
Right. No, technically he's neck and neck with Scott Walker, and we'll talk about the polling data. Hopefully we have time to talk about
that. He's neck and neck in New Hampshire.
But those polls have been taken a while ago, so who knows where the state of the race is. And Walker's had some of his own problems too.
Yeah, and he's down by, excuse me, it's almost 9 points in Iowa from Walker. But be that as it may be, I'm just saying we can't just write this guy off.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, especially if you have a divided conservative base in Iowa and in New Hampshire. That makes it easier for Bush. The one thing where, you know, I think why Scott Walker poses such a challenge to him is that he's got Tea Party support, some Tea Party support, even though, and I know there's some grassroots activists that really don't like Walker. I'm open to Walker. I'm interested in him as a candidate. I've not been happy with some of the things he said recently, but I haven't dismissed him.
Right.
And he also can draw from establishment Republicans, too. Mm-hmm. So he's a dangerous candidate for Bush.
Well, he has surprised me with how well he's done in Iowa
right.
compared to Carson and some of the others. It's right. been a bit of a surprise. But let's talk real briefly, though, about Hillary.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I have to admit, I have been surprised at how this email scandal has hurt her.
Right.
Now, I don't...
Well, I'm mostly surprised that mainstream media is actually reporting
well,
on
Well, the
it.
New York Times actually broke the story.
Right.
I mean, what's up with that? But look, I still am unwilling to think that the media and the left are going to write her off.
Oh,
I don't,
no,
I just
absolutely
don't,
not.
I just don't see that
well,
happening.
And frankly, you know, polling data just doesn't suggest that, you know, any other competitors really picking up steam yet. However, Rasmussen just released a poll that said 54% of Americans believe Democrats should run a fresh face. Most voters think that the Democratic Party should look for a presidential newcomer in 2016. Over half of Democrats don't disagree.
Yeah, but who? Here's the thing.
Who? Right.
I mean, Biden. I mean,
no.
I mean, Elizabeth Warren, Governor O'Malley. I mean, give me a break. These
please,
people.
Well, please. I fully support Governor O'Malley or Elizabeth Warren, especially. I hope she runs, even though she's pretty much said. I don't know how many different ways she could say it that she's not running.
But these are candidates that are not ready for prime time. They're just not.
Well, there's some people, you know, for instance, I thought, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but Los Angeles's mayor, I thought they were kind of setting him up, you know, that he was a convention speaker. So, some of these people, you kind of look at some of the people they've had speak at the convention, and those are the folks that you think are possibly going to run.
I will say this, though, as far as the Democrats in the next presidential election. Turnout, once again, is going to mean everything.
Right.
If they replicate what they did in 2008 and 2012, the Republicans, I don't care who the Democrats run. If they replicate that turnout, the Republicans are already in trouble.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
True.
And now can they do that without a Barack Obama-type candidate at the top of the ticket?
I don't think so.
I mean,
Hillary Clinton she's not as charismatic. As she's a skillful politician,
right?
But yeah, the Clinton machine, you're not going to necessarily see her replicate what even Bill Clinton did, and I think that's probably a better model, because he was charismatic. She is not. I think you can say a lot of things about Hillary, but having right. charisma is not one of those
right.
things.
But it's been
and she's just tripping like crazy over this issue, and I think this could really ding her because while it may not diminish her support, it could potentially reduce if she's if they treat her as though this is a coronation rather than a nomination,
right.
and none of this gets vetted. At least it's for her. It's coming out now early where she could possibly spin it.
That's right,
but.
She can get this behind
which,
her.
By the way,
there's lots of time left.
Which, by the way, you look at the mainstream media. Of course, they're going to get involved. But look when if this were a Republican, they probably would have held on to this until the general election. Seriously,
mm-hmm.
if they had this dirt on a Republican nominee.
Well, it's kind of interesting. She has dropped 15 points since mid-February,
right.
among Democrats. I mean, that's a
right.
She took a big hit. No question about it.
That's substantial. As far as, there's a separation document issue, too, that's interesting. We got a clip from State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki.
Well, we have reviewed Secretary Clinton's official personnel file and administrative files and do not have any record of her signing the OF-109. In addition, after looking into their official personnel files, we did not locate any record of either of her immediate predecessors signing this form. It's not clear that this form is used as part of a standard part of checkout across the federal government or even at the State Department, so we're certainly looking into that.
Yeah, interesting.
Plot thickens.
So, yeah, given, basically this This form states that she turned over all official documents upon leaving the department, a form that was the subject of intense speculation since the issue could determine whether or not she broke the law. So, because had she signed it, had she signed that form, and she still may have signed that form, just because the State Department, we couldn't find it, you know. Well, it's amazing how things disappear at the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Computers suddenly crash. A former Justice Department official said that last week, and Fox News reported last week, that if Clinton signed that form, she probably gave a false statement and broke the law. So.
But forgive me. Speaking of false statements, how about that Benghazi was caused by a YouTube video?
Well, that's a given. Yeah.
I mean, in all seriousness, this is another thing that I'm just left scratching my head about. Everybody's all bent out of shape about this private server she used.
Right.
And this,
how much, about Benghazi would be on that private server?
Well, that's a good point. And that, now the separation document in my mind is a much greater issue potentially.
Right.
But be that as it may be, I do not understand why all of these people that are up in arms about the emails have had apparently very little criticism for Mrs. Clinton with respect to the whole Benghazi episode.
Right.
I'm at a loss to know how the American people can sit back and watch an administration of which she was a big part in this particular instance lie to them day after day, which they did.
Yeah.
And never admitted that they did.
It's crazy.
And we knew at the time we were being lied to.
And I just want to bring up another point, because we only have about 3 minutes left in this segment here. Another issue that's coming to the forefront, and Reuters broke this story. They said Clinton Foundation still have not released their donor names. There's this question about how many foreign donors has the Clinton Foundation, specifically the Clinton Health Access Initiative, receive donations from, because this would be obviously, if you're Secretary of State and you're receiving all these foreign donations, there is a definite conflict of interest there. 2008, Clinton promised Barack Obama that there would be no mystery about who was giving money to her family's charities. But it's, you know, in response to questions from Reuters, officials at the Clinton Health Access Initiative and the foundation confirmed that no complete list of donors to Clinton's charities has been published since 2010. That's a problem. That's a real big problem.
Only for Republicans and conservatives.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Anyway, back to Iowa, Martin O'Malley comes to Iowa. And he's invested a lot of money and time in the state. He's appeared at 24 campaign events, probably more than any other Democrat, you know, prospective candidate right now. I'm not sure he's getting his time and money's worth.
I just don't see this going anywhere.
This man shilled for Jack Hatch, and Jack Hatch is still undecided about him. So, you know, you can't get a break.
I just don't see a chain.
Yeah, and. We're almost out of time here. Looking at polling here, nationally is, I think, a waste of time to even talk about. Iowa, right now, according to Real Clear Politics, Walker's up by 8 points. In New Hampshire, Walker's up
What's the date on these polls, by the way? What was the date?
The Iowa polling, the last one was Quinnipiac, or whatever, however you pronounce it.
The Q poll, remember?
The Q poll,
yes,
you're right. Yeah. Was in February okay. 16th through 23rd. So none of these are really current numbers, because Walker's had a few media stumbles, which we didn't get a chance to talk about.
But he's still in February. He's up almost 10 points.
Right. So he's in good position. We'll see what, you know, how March plays out with additional polling. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back
with more brilliant analysis. Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch.
When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
That middle-of-the-night phone call is taking its toll on you. You thought that the days of your kids interrupting your sleep were long gone. But now it's the predicaments of your grown children that are keeping you awake. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Parenting adult children can be draining. You have invested two intense decades into that kid, and you don't want to see it all go for naught. Well, consider these thoughts. As a parent, you're responsible for the process, not the product. Each person makes their own decision regarding Christ. God has no grandchildren, only children. Also, loosen that emotional tether. Let out the slack that ties their decisions to you, and you avoid the whiplash effect. Realistically, very little of what they do is actually because of you. If you need help working with an adult child, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or visit us online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're on the air because of faithful sponsors like Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And this is our kind of our news roundup segment. Israel, Obama, and Netanyahu relations are strained. They've been strained for a long time.
Strained is putting it mildly right now.
Yeah. Netanyahu won he still has to put together a government. Just parliamentary form of government just fascinates me.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, you think
seems a little foreign
think,
for some
you
reason.
You think Washington, you know, looking and seeing how Congress, you know, how that sausage making, it's even worse in a parliamentary, you know, form of government. So,
but the bottom line is Netanyahu won a clear majority.
Yeah, they picked up his party picked up an additional seat. So, you know, he's definitely, unless barring some unforeseen circumstance, he's going to be able to put the government together and he'll be the prime minister again. And he kind of shifted to the right toward the end of his election. He gave some support to a two-state solution between Israel and Palestine. And then he said, maybe not so much. So that obviously endeared him even more to Obama, who now is, you know, anyway, we have this article in Politico. This is Israel's shield, no more.
But hang on, buddy. It was just priceless. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Josh Earnest, the press secretary, he was talking about, you know, this cynical move made by Netanyahu during the election, you know, that on the two-state solution, you know, and I was thinking to myself how priceless it was listening to the Obama administration criticize somebody else for saying some big lie in the midst of a campaign.
Let's see. I wrote an article about seven, you know, fibs he told.
Oh, man.
At least it's big ones.
It's like, Josh, is this a trick question?
Right. I just say, 2008, Obama saying he was against gay marriage. Right. Okay.
Anyway.
Maybe we should talk about Benghazi again.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway. No. Anyway. Right, enough about that.
Possible sanctions. I mean, the U.S. actually might support U.N. resolutions against Israel now. This is a huge shift in U.S. Israeli relationships, which
this is twilight.
Disaster.
This is twilight zone and, foreign policy.
An absolute disaster. Anyway, more provocative to Israel would be any softening of Obama's opposition to Palestinian efforts to join the International Criminal Court, which the Palestinian Authority will formally join on April 1st. That's priceless. That April 1st, yes, that's very appropriate.
Yeah, that works out well.
Under a law passed by Congress, any Palestinian bid to bring war crimes charges against Israel at the court will automatically sever America's $400 million in annual aid to the Palestinian Authority, although some experts suggest Obama could find indirect ways to continue the funding, even if only to prevent a dangerous collapse of the Palestinian governing body. So, moving on. We could spend all segment on that, but we're not. Truth and Logic will get you banned from a class at Reed College. Where's Reed College? You found this article.
Yeah, but you can't throw that at me like that out of the middle of nowhere.
Sorry,
no, I didn't look up where it was at.
Anyway, does it really matter? Because this really could happen in a liberal college. Anyway, 19-year-old Jeremiah True told BuzzFeed News that his humanities 110 professor, Pancho Savory? Is that his real name? Pancho Savory?
Pancho Savory.
Savory? Okay. Had warned him that his views on campus sexual assault were bothering other students before ultimately sending True an email telling him he was forbidden from participating in the conference portion of the class at all. Please know this was a difficult decision for me to make and one that I've never made before. Nevertheless, in light of the serious stress you have caused your classmates, I feel I have no other choice, the email stated according to BuzzFeed. True said that although he had been chastised for several statements, the transgressions that ultimately led to the ban were him rejecting the idea of a rape culture and disputing the 1 in 10 college women are raped statistic, despite the fact that the statistics has been repeatedly debunked.
This is the real problem that we have right now with academia.
Right.
Is that the truth no longer matters. I mean, this guy wasn't disputing the fact that these statistics had been debunked. It's that you can't say that. That causes problems. That causes grief. That causes people to be uncomfortable.
Right.
You can't do that. And so that's where we're at with academia right now, is the truth is irrelevant. We have this silly notion of political correctness, which is absolutely infected academia. And this is the kind of stuff that happens as a result.
Right. I think we just have, how much time do we have, Ron? Okay, we got time for this clip. Global Teaching Prize winner discourages young people from teaching. Why? Well, listen, and this is Nancy Atwell, a teacher since 1973 and founder of the Center for Teaching and Learning.
Figure out what they want to do when they grow up and might be considering teaching.
Honestly, right now I encourage them to look in the private sector.
Why? Mm.
Because public school teachers are so constrained right now by the Common Core standards and the tests that are developed to monitor what teachers are doing with them. It's a movement that's turned teachers into technicians,
wow,
not, you know, reflective practitioners. And if you're a creative, smart young person, I don't think this is the time to go into teaching unless an independent school would suit you.
Which is why we need teachers like across the board.
But if you're dumb and you're not creative, go for it.
So, you're drawing an inference there.
Oh, that's right.
She didn't say that.
And old, too. Okay. So, no. I mean, that's remarkable, though, because, I mean, this woman has, she's well known, especially in education circles. She has... has her. If you read through her resume, it's pretty jaw dropping what she's been able to accomplish. But she's a literacy expert, and if she doesn't like this Common Core standard, that's pretty telling right there. So this was on CNN's Newsday, and it kind of came out of left field because I don't think they were expecting an answer like that. Because you look at Allison Camerota's face if you saw the video, it's like, why, you know.
had this shocked expression right. on her face, did she?
Right, yeah.
We're running out of time, buddy. Keep going.
Yeah, okay. Let's skip over this next one. Margaret Sanger on the $20 bill. Okay. No. 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 This is...
Now, back up a little bit. It's not just Margaret.
No,
I mean,
no.
There are 16 different
right.
candidates
there's
here.
There's some women on 20s.org/candidates. You can look. Here's a couple more. Here's a couple, I think, people who would be a little more apt. I think would be better suited for that. Susan B. Anthony. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Clara Barton, Margaret Sanger. No, thank you. Not the founder of Planned Parenthood. We don't need her on a $20 bill. So anyway, if you vote on that, that's if we actually need to get Andrew Jackson. That is Jackson. I don't see many 20s in my wallet. So it's Jackson right on the 20. So I think that's Andrew Jackson, right?
Do you occasionally at least see old Abe?
Every once in a while. Then my wife gets in my office. Why do you have this? And I have to, explain myself.
All the guy ever sees is George Washington.
Right. So, you know, if go vote on that and vote for one of these pro-life, Susan B. Anthony, holy cow, she actually did something. I mean, she fought to abolish slavery. She fought for women's suffrage. If anybody deserves to be on a $20 bill, it'd be her or Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
Well, there's a number of ladies on this, right. this list that are pretty radical.
Right.
And anyway.
But those
surprise,
two.
Surprise.
Yeah, those two, the ladies I mentioned, they're worthy of an honor like that. Anyway, my two cents.
How about we stick with Old Hickory?
We can do that too. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
That middle of the night phone call is taking its toll on you. You thought that the days of your kids interrupting your sleep were long gone. But now it's the predicaments of your grown children that are keeping you awake. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Parenting adult children can be draining. You have invested two intense decades into that kid, and you don't want to see it all go for naught. Well, consider these thoughts. As a parent, you're responsible for the process, not the product. Each person makes their own decision regarding Christ. God has no grandchildren, only children. Also, loosen that emotional tether. Let out the slack that ties their decisions to you, and you avoid the whiplash effect. Realistically, very little of what they do is actually because of you. If you need help working with an adult child, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or visit us online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance you need. And it sounds like, rumors have it, that President Obama might buy the Magnum P.I. estate.
Yeah, that, for those of you who are Magnum P.I. aficionados, that was Robin Masters' estate.
Right.
That's where Higgins lived in the main house,
right.
And then Tom Selleck's character,
lived in
Magnum,
the,
lived in a cottage or something.
There is a second building on the estate. It's like 3 acres. It's going for $8.5 million.
It's a sweet pad.
Obviously has ocean access. I mean, I've kind of... I always thought it was kind of a cool place, even when I was a kid. You know, like, wow. Of course, then he drove the Ferrari, so that was kind of cool.
Probably the next thing that our former president...
Probably.
Hopefully.
Hey, you know what?
Former president.
If he's using his own money to buy it, more power to him. Great. Good for him. I know he's got he's got to be thinking about retirement here pretty soon. You know, 2016 coming around. He's not going to be in office that much longer. So I wish him well in his retirement.
You're assuming, of course, that he will leave office.
I'm not quite ready to assume that there's going to be a third term. So there are a lot of people who are, who argue for that, but or think that might happen. I don't know. I'm not quite there yet. But so I'm going to wish him well in his retirement, and hopefully it comes quickly. So
yes, the sooner the better. Okay. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right. This one comes from news.com.au. So I take it that's
Australia.
A confused boyfriend was faced with a tricky choice after both his ex and his current girlfriend threw themselves into a river to see who he would rescue.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, this happened over in East China's, I can't say that either, Zhejiang province. And they've got names here that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, so forgive me. But anyway, this 21-year-old man had broken up with a long-term girlfriend after meeting a new love. And over the following 3 months, the jilted girl kept hassling him to get back with her and pressuring him to leave him. Eventually, it was decided to arrange a meeting between the three of them at a nearby park next to a river. I became confused about who I wanted. So I thought it would be best if we all met and talked about it. But when they got to the river, the situation went from bad to worse. The girls began arguing, and then one of them jumped off the bridge and straight into the water, and she was calling for help. But then the other girl also leapt over the bridge, saying it was her or my ex. And I was completely dumbfounded about what was going on.
I would be too.
But then I realized that I had to do something. So I also jumped in, but I went in to save my new love. And after dragging the soaking wet girl ashore, he phoned his brother to rescue his floundering ex.
She's going to be downriver.
His brother called the fire brigade, who arrived at the scene and helped her out of the water. She was taken to the hospital, but was released soon after without any major injuries. And he said, I was put in a difficult situation and I had to make a choice between right and wrong. Okay, now here's the funny part. This guy's name, I can pronounce his name. His name was Wu. His new girlfriend, her name was Rong. R-O-N-G. All right. He had to choose between right and wrong, and he chose wrong.
I don't think we're going to get to the quote of the day today.
No. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back. We'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.